We started this month with a season of enthronement, being a season of enthronement, and I asked the question, how many people would like to be enthroned? I want to challenge this as a church that let's be progressive. What I mean by that is, when the word of the Lord comes and you're blessed by it, I love the word because the word has impact in our lives, but there's a lot more we have to do to allow the word to begin to move further in our lives. So just, the Bible says in James chapter 1 from verse 22, it says, do not just be hearers of the word alone. It's what happens when you hear the word. You hear the word, you know what it says like. Then you'll leave the place. The Bible says anyone who hears the word is like a look in the mirror and knowing what you look like. Then you walk away from a place and you forget what you just look like. The word of God is something that if you do not do it, you would forget what it is supposed to do. Do you understand what I said? If I do not do something, then I will forget what it's supposed to do. Even though I've heard it, I will forget what it's supposed to do. I want us to be doers of the word. And when you do that, your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. As we talked about the season of enthronement, we dealt with a whole lot of different things, established the truths. And last week, and including Wednesday, I talked to us about some definition of success. I'm going to have the technical team run through that here. We're not dwelling on that, but I want to say this, that God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be successful in anything that you do. He wants you to be successful. Let no one tell you otherwise or differently. In the season of enthronement, God wants us to be successful. And we define success a little bit, and it's a little bit mouthful here, but I'm going to try to run through it because of my time and be able to give us a context through which we are going to start today's word on. Success is stretching yourself beyond your comfort zone until you set a record of excellence in a particular area. Everything about success is very specific. Success is not, I drove here to work. I drove to church this morning. In somebody's life, that is success because they did not know they could get out of the bed. For me, it's not success because it was not a goal I set. Are you with me? So success is very specific. Let's go to the next one. Success is finding, and on that first one I said, how are you stretching yourself into success? Second thing about success is success is finding a way to accomplish set goals rather than finding excuses to justify non-performance. Excuses are for the incompetent. Mistakes prove attempts. When we don't make attempts, we will never fail. And when we don't make attempts, we will never make mistakes. And when we don't make mistakes, we'll never learn. So sometimes when you make mistakes, don't focus on the mistake, focus on what did you learn. Every day of our lives, we're making mistakes, but because we're looking at it as mistakes. And I said mistakes and failure is a perspective issue. We need to look at it and say, what did I learn today? What did I learn today? Somebody say amen. And then the third one we talked about is success is achieved by using the bricks of failure and disappointment to lay a firm foundation on which greatness can be built. There is nothing, before a wood can be made, before a chair can be made, tree has to go down. And in the eyes of a tree, it thought it failed, but the tree is serving a bigger purpose. And many times in lives, we go through things and things are challenging and derail us and we think this is the end of our lives. But listen, take whatever challenge has been in your life, whatever mistakes you've made, and stand upon that and rise upon that and rise upon that. Because one day you're going to look above the wall that's in front of you. And it's only because you're standing on top of that failure and the mistakes which you refuse to let be bigger than you. I said, a failure is not the one who failed. The failure is the one who chose to stay in the failure. Because you're not labeled until you call that your location. Hallelujah. A home does not have an address. A home is not a home until it's got an address. Otherwise, you're just moving along. So when you call that my home, that you've lived yourself failure, but that's not your portion. You haven't failed because you tried. You're learning. And so think that in mind. I want us to change that perspective, realize that God has the best for you, and He's taking us on a journey. So you thought you were going to start, and you did not start. Well, that's a big deal. Wake up, start now. Hallelujah. Somebody say, start now. Hallelujah. Let's go again. Success is accomplishing your God-given assignment, not just doing more than others. And a lot of times, sometimes we say, look at other people, and then you want to take, just do a little bit more than others. And you're thinking, if I can just do more than others. Well, that guy has his own success. Yeah. If anyone's looking at, if I look at like my sister right here, Sister Chumoke right here, and she's doing something, she becomes really successful at that, and I decide, I want to just go a little bit higher than that. She's fulfilled. I am not fulfilled despite having a better success than her. You with me? So success is not looking at other people. It's what does that look? What is God saying about you? Because that's what drives the success in your life. Because success is not success if you don't look back and say, is it worth my life? Is it worth giving my life to it? Somebody say amen. Success is not an accident. It is a direct result of unbroken focus, intentional hard work, purposeful sacrifice, and persistence. I'll let that sit down there so you can write it down. It's not an accident. You don't fall into success. You don't fall into success. It's like I heard someone say that you know, you don't fall out of debt. You get out of debt. But you can fall into debt, right? Just all you have to do is go to a sales guy and tell you why this car is the best car you have to buy. You fall into debt, but you get out. You intentionally get out of that. So success is not something we fall into. It's something we intentionally get out of it. Somebody say amen. And so we've defined success. We looked at it. Was that all that I had on there? We looked at success. Today I want to talk about success in motion. So we've defined success, and I want to discuss a little bit about what I call success in motion. And in essence, that is principles of success. So when we look at success for what it really is, there's got to be something that starts it. There's got to be a foundation that begins success in life. And we want to talk about those principles and those foundations that begin success in life. And those foundations are very critical. You know, I shared with us a story of a guy who was in debt and was down and he was in debt and he was losing everything. He had lost businesses, lost everything. And he said, Lord, I'm going to play lottery. He said, Lord, help me win the lottery. And then the first day he didn't win. The second day, you remember the story? Second day he didn't win the lottery. After praying, God, help me win the lottery. And the third day he said, Lord, help me. You know I love you and whatnot. I don't want to lose my family. And they're skinny and they've not eaten 5 days. Help me win the lottery. And all of a sudden, God, and there was a light that shined. And he got an answer and said, oh, boy. Meet me halfway, buy a ticket. In other words, see, you cannot just put everything you're going to be on God. There are principles that govern everything. You see, principles, the reason why I love the way the scripture is, and is the fact that, and look at what the Bible says about life in general, you realize that God has principles, and he put principles in place. When he created heaven and earth, he put principles in place. And you try to violate one of those principles. You try to jump off the roof and decide you're Superman. I mean, I know that the cartoons that tell you Superman happened, but you try to do that. You're violating the principle, a law. A law which scientists cannot tell you how it became. But it's a law of God, because that same law is what keeps most grounded. If the law was not here, there's a usefulness for the law. If the law was not here, we would all be floating. That's gravity. But you can't just get outside and say, I'm going to jump off and expect to float around. Those are principles. But you see, in the belief of that principle, we'll be able to get to space because we respected that principle. And we decided to create rockets that would go against that principle. We calculated 9.8 meters per second is what gravity is. And we decided to fight against it and get into space. Planes have flown. You are here. Otherwise, it would have taken you probably 3 months on a boat. But you're here today. Why? Because we respect their principles. So when we respect principles, we set in success in motion. Someone say to me, say with me, success in motion. We all have things we hope for to pursue and become. There are things that ensure success. And there's some fundamental truths about success. Now, I'll tell you this. The success principles are proven laws of success that always deliver everyone that practices, deliver for anyone that practices it. I always say this, and I said this, I said, I don't want us to be hearers of a word, I want us to be doers of a word as well. Do not just get to a point where you're just hearing this, do it. Every successful person did something. Every successful person did something. And so as we talk about success and we talk about the principles of success, we would uncover what I called, you know, probably I'll share with you seven principles driving success. I'm about to share with you, I'm talking about seven principles here. These are not all the principles in the world, but I want to say that's why I call this success in motion, which means something that starts the gear going, right? Something that gets the things going. And if we can talk and master, and I'm not asking you to just hear this thing. I'm asking you, take a step further. I'm asking you, do something every day towards these principles. Every principle has been proven. These principles have been proven. And it's the same principle you see in the life of David. It's the same principle you see in the life of Jesus. It's the same principle. I can show you how those principles worked in the life of Joseph. I can see how the principle works in the life of Elon Musk. I can tell you how the principle works in the life of John Maxwell. I can tell you how the principle works in the lives of many, many people. Many, many people. Bill Gates. The people who are successful today, whether in the Bible or in the world, it works the same way. God used the same principle. Jesus used the same principle over and over again. And so if we can master this principle, seven of them I'm going to start with, maybe we get to talk about some of them afterwards, then we would start to walk into our place of success. Because why do we have to be successful? Because we have to receive and take our place of enthronement in God's promises or God's place for our life, God's plan for our lives. What is it that God promises somebody and then we're living like we have not been enthroned or we have not been given that ability to prosper? That's not your portion. We want to really prosper. We want to really be successful in whatever we do. Someone with me? Are you ready for the seven principles of success? I'll tell you the first principle. Principles of success. Well, hold on. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Can I go there for a second? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The reason why it's important to have the principles governing from the area of the scripture, I'll share with you about that as we go through this. It's the fact that success in one area does not represent success in every area. God, you can be successful one place, but you can have challenges in other areas. What God wants to do is give us what? All-round success. Say to your neighbor, all-round success. He's not looking into just you being so successful in one area. Okay? So the first level of success, the first principle of success I want to talk about is this. Clearly define your vision. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the scripture says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Let me say this. Vision creates the order for your life. Anyone without a goal, I heard a man of God say this, a person said this, any man without a goal would always run around the field but never score. Clearly defined vision. Vision, you may ask me, what is vision? Vision is the ability to capture the future before it arrives. It is the revelation of what you expect to see. It's a revelation of what you expect to see. If the vision is not known, confusion is inevitable. Now listen to this. A blind man with a vision is 1,000 times better than a man with two eyes and glasses without a vision. I'll give you one more about that, right? Helen Keller. How many new people know about Helen Keller? Helen Keller was blind. And let me tell you what Helen Keller said. She said, the only thing worse than being blind is having a sight but no vision. Many of us walk around not knowing what your purpose is, what the vision is. What is your future? What is the capture of your future? What do you see about yourself? Vision is what jumpstarts everything you'd ever become. Vision jumpstarts everything you've ever become. Nobody becomes without that vision. Otherwise, it's a fluke and a mistake. So when you run into something you didn't plan for, you didn't envisage, you didn't envision, you will never know how to handle that thing when you get it. For a person who has a vision of building a hospital, $1 million goes a long way. A person who has no vision at all, $1 million will ruin them. Are you starting to get the picture here? What is the vision? A lot of people look at the money before the vision. I tell you this. Provision comes after a vision because money serves a purpose. Money is a tool. You don't go get a tool before you have the work to do. If I'm a farmer, I have to get a farm before I get a hoe or cutlass or tractor. Don't get the tool. You can't. The tool serves no purpose if you don't know how to use it. So when we chase the money, money will come. Money will come. Vision gives money, gives room for money to flow. You work for somebody who pays you because the person had a vision. And money is flowing. You have a business today because you have a vision. And somebody needs your solution to somebody's problem. I will go on. A dictionary defines vision about the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. Every accomplishment in life started with a vision. The Wright brothers were told by their friends and journalists. As a matter of fact, the Wright brothers, when they were looking into this, they didn't have that much money. The government gave researchers, scientists, a whole lot of group of people money. Money to develop a flying plane. And the Wright brothers were in 1908 or wherever that time was, in their own little place, I think it's Arkansas or Kansas, wherever, or Carolina, one of those places. They were there building their own without much money. The government gave funds to the best top-notch doctors and engineers to develop something. And their father said, listen, the father said, I said, leave the flying to the birds. But they said, I have a dream. We have a dream and we want to see it happen. Today, we have an airplane. Martin Luther King had a dream. Whether or not we have fully fulfilled everything we're seeing with the movement we're enjoying today started with a dream. Walt Disney took his kids to a park and saw them, and he realized that was a place the kids felt happiest, and he had a vision. That's why their vision is to create a happy place for kids. Elon Musk, technology is going on, so we know he created the electric car. Well, he decided he wants to go to space, that's okay too. But do you know something, that he realized that there's no satellite, no internet in remote parts of the earth. So he decided, I've got money, I got plane, I got rocket, why don't I just put some satellites up there called, I think, Starlink or Skylink or one of a link, so that people can receive internet around the world. A vision. Terry Savelle, she was at the headquarters, and by the way, the pastors and some of the ministers are not here today because they are the headquarters with the women's program out there. But you see, Terry Savelle, she was there yesterday, and she said something. She says, a person with no vision will always return to their past. When you don't know what gets you going, you'd always go back to where you're coming from. See, God didn't call us to recede or to return. He called us to what? Move forward. When he called the people, he said, go forward. I have never seen the place in the Bible God said, go back. It was go forward. Hallelujah. So what is your vision? Where have you written it? And I'm going to ask you a very question for those of you who have a vision. Is it worth your life's pursuit? You see, can you die for your vision? Now, if you don't know it, if you haven't written it, spend the next few months thinking, and I pray before the end of this year, thinking about it and writing it down. I was reading something, an article on improving vision in Success Magazine, and I'm going to read through some of the things. Well, they didn't put some of this. What I got from it, I'm going to put right there so that you can fully understand. you know, my daughter came to me the other day. She had a mind, something in mind, and she walked to me and she said, "Daddy, I want to do this. I want to do this." And she's asking me, "What should I do?" She had gone back and written all the pros and cons. I mean, I did not know who taught us what analysis, pros and cons and whatnot. And she came back. She says, "Dad, so what then should I do?" And I'm taken aback. I'm thinking, well, she's already done everything I'd ask her to do. So I asked her a question. I said, "What is the vision? Why do you want to do this thing?" And that just dumbfounded her. And I said, if you can find out why, you'd always be successful. I said, go back and write down why you want to do it and why someone needs to pursue what you're doing. So she went back and wrote it down and wrote the why, she wrote the what, she wrote the when, and she's on her way to doing what she wants to do. Vision. So think about the next few months and write a vision. But let me say this, what we have a few tips or things you can do to write a vision, to get in your vision. The first one is this, pray about it. Go with me to the book of Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. Glory to God. We'll get through it. It says, You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. And verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. This is what God said. This is who you are in God. He's called you. He's formed you. It says, marvelous are your works, and my soul knows it very well. In verse 15, it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. So there's no secret. Okay? And skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. In verse 16, your eyes saw my substance, what? But being yet unformed. So in other words, everything you think you are can be, God already knew and knows about it. So we will be unwise to think that we are self-made or that we know it all. God knows it more than us. He's seen everything. I like verse 16, sorry, that's where I'm going. And the scripture says, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, as yet there were none of them. Which is before I started living, your book has the days fashioned for me. So here's the thing. Pray about it. Ask God to reveal what you were created to solve. What has He put inside of you? A lot of times people don't want to pray because we think we cannot hear God. But here's something about that. Sometimes it might be like a burning bush, like Moses. Sometimes it might be God impressing something in your heart. But here's something about this. When you ask God, you lose nothing by asking. When you ask God, you will begin to see some part of your life begin to have an expression that you never had before. God will begin to show you something you never knew before. Like you ask God, Lord, I don't know what it is, but help me understand what the gift is here. And all of a sudden, you see a little child that has no parent. And you're just drawn finally to someone who needs help. And you realize that, my goodness, I have this passion I can't explain for people who orphans. I'm just using the word there, right? You'd never know. But if you do not ask, you would never receive. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. If we start by knowing that God always answers, then we should not hinder our answers by not asking. So God has a purpose for you. God created you for a reason. And if we will ask God, He will provide and He will reveal that to us. Don't be afraid of what you're not going to hear. But God has a way to even open if He can open deaf ears, then you're not deaf. You will hear. Amen. Second thing, vision starts within. Look within you. There's some natural gifts and desires that you have inside of you. Look inside of you. There's a part of you that not everybody knows. There's something hidden inside of you. You know those little secret things that you don't know, and you know, you draw in secret, but nobody knows you draw in secret? There's some people I have pushed them, well, I won't say I pushed them, but I refuse to take no. See, for the life of me, I cannot decorate. I'm an artistic person, but I cannot decorate a room. For the life of me. I cannot decorate a room. One of our her dear sister's in the beautification department. She looked at me, she said, we're talking about doing some work, and she looked at me, she says, you know, Pastor, he had the colors. I said, I don't know how they work or how they match. You know, I'm one of those people that I painted my house many years ago, and that was just a fluke. That was just a, does it go? Does it not go? It's red. What can go with red? Yellow. Okay, if it doesn't go, that's too bad. I bought the paint and we're living with it. That's it. And I started a committee called Angelo Brother and Brothers. And they will come in and they'll paint it. But we did that one. I said, I am not painting anything again. Again. Look within you. I know what my gifts are. I know what my talents are. Lord, look inside of you and say, where are my gifts? Where can I use them? Third is this. And vision draws on your history. See, when you look at people who've been successful, they have a history. Those who have vision, they look at something in the past and go, that was something I don't want to ever repeat again. Or that was something I did not have that I must make sure in the future my children would not miss. Are you with me? You draw from your past. People look at the past and the past is not supposed to be the pointer to the future. It's not supposed to be the goal for the future. The past is supposed to be what lessons can you take to correct in the future or to move forward with in the future. Is somebody with me this morning? Hallelujah. And here's the thing you have to understand as you start to think and write a vision. Vision always meets others' needs. Your vision must add value to others. If your vision is, I want to be the richest person so I can tell the person that made fun of me in high school that, in your face. That's not a vision. That vision is going to be tough because your vision always needs people. Your vision must always have a way to add value to other people. Now, adding value to other people does not mean that, okay, because I have a vision to have a company means I have to hire them for free. No. The fact that you're paying them is you're adding them value. The fact that you're solving a problem for another person, you're adding value. Vision adds value to others. And the other one I want you to always look about is that write the vision down. Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. It says, write the vision down, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. There's something powerful about writing a vision down. Have you ever seen companies who think the vision in their heads? If organizations will want to move thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to follow one thing, but do not put the vision in their head, there must be a reason why we need to write the vision down. Your personal vision must be something where if someone looks at you and say, I know where she's going. You know, your vision attracts the right people to you and repels the wrong people from you. There's some people that you tell you're going to do this thing and they look at you and say, good luck. That ain't me. It's okay. Don't be mad. They may be your best friend. It's just that the season is over. If I came to you today and said, listen, by this time next year, our vision, I'm not saying that's the case, we're going to have 5,000 people in this place. There's some people that will say, oh boy, what did he smoke this morning? So what did the pastor eat this morning? And there's some people that will be like, wait a minute, that is big and lofty. Jeez, how did he dream that? You know what? I don't know what it is. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I want to be a part of it. Right? Because the vision attracts the right people. And it repels the wrong people. There's some people that will be like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I have something. I'm tied to that vision. I want to see that happen. And God, let me know what I need to do. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. The people perish. If that's happening to people, how much your lives? If you're going to be successful, what is your vision? Why should I be associated with you? I've got a few people here today. We hear people in general that we talk about the dreams. We talk about the business and the things they're thinking about. And it's just so refreshing. I'm so sold in, you know, I'm so support. I won't say so they would define it, I'm supportive, but it's... It's my biggest joy and gladness to be part of what God is doing in their lives. My dream is to see that every vision that you have in your life succeeds. I go in my room and I pray for every one of you. But if you don't have a vision, what should I be praying for? So, Lord, whatever they have in their mind, nothing. Well, imagine God's answering prayers and like, okay, well, and you, he's already prayed for you. What do you want? Anything goes. Hallelujah. That's not your portion. There's something about writing vision down. A vision is a dream written down. I'm not saying go dream now, because many of us dream. The Bible says dream comes as a multitude, from a multitude of activities. So we dream that we dream we want another job, and so we wake up thinking we want another job because somebody's harassing us at that job. Or whatever that dream is, you dream of food because you've not gone to that vacation spot in a long time. But when you, here's the thing, if you wake up with that dream and you write it down and you set your goals around that, you've just turned that dream into a vision. A dream that's written down, a vision is a dream written down. Now, writing your vision gives you clarity. Once it's written, take a look at it, and there's one thing you have to evaluate with the vision. See if it's worth your life's pursuit. When you write a vision down, you cannot run after it. What's the purpose of a vision? The Bible says, write it down, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that written. When your vision is written down, is it worth your life's pursuit? Are you living? Can you live every day for this thing? Staring people's hearts now. Can I live every day for this thing? I want to become this. Yeah, that's okay. But can you live your life for this thing? Somebody say amen. Number two, so seven things. Number two is this. Set goals. Set goals. Set goals. No man gets to where they're going without knowing where they're going. Now, you may have been successful in starting your car, but it doesn't get you to your destination. And that's what happens in many cases in life, is we start the journey. Pastor Toye, many years, preached a message, say the beginning is half done. We start the journey, but we don't get to the destination. You know, when Elisha had the goal of having double the portion of Elijah, he started the journey. My goodness, the guy was resilient. You know, when the people, prophets, sons of a prophet said to him, say, you know God is going to take you. He said, I know, be quiet. In other words, don't steal my mojo. Don't take this from me. Elijah said to him, said, why don't you wait till I go to Jericho? He says, no, as sure as the Lord lives, I'm going with you. And then he asked him two times or three times, and walked with him. And then the last time he said, what is it you want? He said, I want double portion. He said, you've asked for a hard thing, a difficult thing. But when you see me go, and not shortly after, he was gone and the mantle fell and he picked up the mantle. What are your goals? You got to learn to set goals. What do you expect to get this year? What were the goals you set at the beginning of the year? 3% of a population set goals. And only 1%. Now think about it. 3 out of 100 people set goals. By the 17th day of January, most goals are, I think it's 80-something percent of people, most goals have already been forgotten. You know, I usually tell people, don't wait till the new year to have a resolution. Goals don't wait for. See, goals, we set the time for goals. Goals are not created by the calendar. You don't wait till new year, that's the beginning of a new goal. Start now. Now. There's no better time than now. There's no better time than now. Set the goal. If you've seen something in your life, you know, I was reading recently, one of the words that I think creates the failure in life is the word later. Talk to you later. I'll see you later. Let's get together later. Later is never specific. Later has no timeline, has no time bound. Later is just later. Later gives you an excuse for the moment. Later is the biggest enemy of now. Later makes now, it's the biggest enemy of now. So I learned how to negate later. You don't know how to do that? I learned it and I started to do that. And my goodness, it's starting to... I will tell you in 6 months, but if you want to start it, I'll tell you right now. Just say Nike. Nah, I'm just joking. Just wake up. Before you go to bed, say, just do it. 50 times. When you wake up in the morning before you do anything, say, just do it. I was right when I said Nike. Just say, just do it. You know what that does for you? I'll tell you what it did for me. When I said just do it, when I wake up in the morning, I said just do it. You see, everything I forgot, I did not know what I wanted to do. You've had a plan, whatnot, but you did not know to the extent you want to do it. But you said, just do it. Just do it. Yeah, caller, just do it. When you begin to say that, everything you need to do just begins to come to your head. And then you just picture this. I picture the thing, just do it. Okay, what am I doing about that one? Before I go to bed, it's like, just do it. Okay, what am I doing about that one? Just say it 50 times. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Don't worry about later. Just talk about what you want to do. Before you go to bed, just do it. The world will begin to come into focus for you. And you'll find yourself achieving more things than you've ever dreamt about. That's God's purpose for you. When you set goals, don't just say them. Always think about how to get there. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, the scripture was saying that, Jesus was saying that, which one of you decides to build a tower and does not first count the cost? Whether he has enough to finish it. How am I going to do it? It says, verse 29, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Count the cost. What does it cost to get the goal accomplished? I'll say something else here. A person with a destination without a map and a plan is only dreaming. Napoleon Hill said something. He said, a goal is a dream with a deadline. So when you have a goal, what's your deadline? When do you want to get it done? You see, let me tell you what it does. It makes sure you don't waste time. It kicks people who waste time out of your life. Remember I said vision puts the right people in your life and kicks the wrong people out. When goal with a deadline, make sure that people who are aligned with you, you can know who is aligned with you. Because people who don't know how to keep time will not spend your time. Because your time is too precious. A goal gives you something to do every time. There is nobody who decides, I want to do something. Whether I want to go to the moon, I want to go to... Nothing that does not have a goal in mind. But the only difference between that goal is the fact that it must be written now, it must be specific, and you all know the smart thing. It must be measurable, it must be attainable, must be realistic, and must be time-bound. The key thing there is, must be time-bound. I can dream all day long, one day I'm going to be rich, one day I'm going to be rich, one day I'm going to be rich. 25 years later, one day I'm going to be rich. One day never comes because there's never a time bound to that. Somebody say amen. So understand what's near for your goal. Break it down to small goals, chunks that allow you to see your progress in anything. Now, every project has benchmarks to see if people are on track. And that's the same thing about goals. That's why they have a benchmark. At this time, we're supposed to have had this. There's nothing that's achieved in life that did not go with a time bound, with a goal. And whenever you win in your goals, celebrate, recognize little successes on the way to a great one. My wife is very, very good at that. I don't mean in a good way. And I'm glad she's not here. That way I can still eat lunch. My wife would, every little thing that comes and she, she writes a grant, she gets a grant, we have to go celebrate. I'm like, oh boy, they've not increased anything because of this grant yet. No, it's okay, we'll do that. If we get anything at all in terms of the kids get good grades, or not good grades, they all get good grades, but if you get the result, oh, this is what they got, let's go celebrate. We have to go drink ice cream today. I think we just have that like 2 days ago. Yeah, this is another reason to celebrate. Every time you celebrate, you give yourself reasons to say, you're successful and you're worth it. It was worth your time. Don't be like those who will wait to the end of the time and say, until he finishes, we'll now see. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart what? Fonder. But a desire accomplished is what? Sweet to the soul. Every time you put the benchmarks in your life, let me ask you a question. What is the vision in your life today? What is your vision? What is your goal? There's no successful person. Why should God put you on a throne? And let me say this as I close, right? Because it's my time. There's no successful person who did not have a goal. Let's take Joseph, for example. Joseph had a vision, and his own was literal, the vision. He saw people, his brothers bowing down, whatnot, and he saw that. He had the vision. And when he had the vision, and he pursued the vision. But the vision challenged him many times. But you see, Joseph had a goal that he was not going to defy God. You know, when Potiphar's wife wanted to get to him, he said, why should I do this thing and sin against God? He had a goal that I don't know where this is going to be, but I'm going to. Now, the vision was there for, did not know when it was going to happen, but that goal was there to say, I would not defy myself. Just because I've been put in prison, I'm not going to lose sight of what I need to be. And he put that goal in his mind. You know, Genesis chapter 39, verse 23, I probably will talk about it much later. There's something there. Joseph, the Bible says that the warden, the prison keeper did not worry about Joseph because he was successful in everything he did. We talk one day, well, maybe on Wednesday or something, we'll talk about that. He was successful in everything he did. How can he be successful in what he did? And there's some things you want to understand there. He did something. And he knew what to do, and he was successful. And the scripture says, for God was with him. Success is, I don't want a success where, you know, myself and someone were sharing this week, we said we were talking about something, and we're talking about how success varies. I don't want to be successful where it goes like the scripture says, what profit a man to gain the whole world? But lose his own soul? That's not what I want in success. I believe that if I would make God the center, success would still come. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Because he's the one, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, who teaches us the way to prosper. When he said in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man, successful, empowered to success is the man, who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinner, nor sit in the seat of discomfort, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he does he meditate day and night. Success can be with you where you're ready to pay the price. What's your vision? And what are your goals? If you don't have a goal today, start now. Don't just dream, because a dream without a time is not a goal. Set yourself, I want to be this, I will be this. What is it in your company, your business? Here's what we want to do. And set that goal. Many years ago, I was doing my MBA, and I had the opportunity to write down a five-year plan. This was when I was still working. Many years ago, anyway. Five-year plan. And one of the things I get the opportunity to share this with others, I would do that, break it down. And I've shared with a few people. I took it, I gave that same thing to my sister and a few people. And I still have my five-year plan. My five-year plan was such a way that I wrote it down. In year one, here's what I'm going to do. In year two, here's what I'm going to do. 5 years, here's what I want to be. And I was on that plan. It's amazing how written goals get you to the destination. It's just amazing. But here's one thing. I just didn't break it down to... Then I started breaking down to quarter one. Because what must I get in quarter one before I know that year one will be successful? Not only that, when I started making a month... Bring me down a bit. We start making a month. Who do I need to talk to? When do I have to get to talk to them? What do I have to read? When do I have to read it? And I said, a month and quarter. What lessons or classes do I have to take? And we started going, And by the grace of God, and because of God, those things were tracking well. I moved out of the plan because I left the company. But that was my plan. And I could see it happening. When I was a private tutor, my first business, many years ago, I really had this, it was not a private tutor, it was a business. I mean, goodness gracious, I haven't shared with someone recently, I had rules, or not policies and principles about what I was going to do about that. This was not come tutor my child. This is a mutual business dealing. Yet the rules, I've got to go. Yes, when you have to pay me. Yes, where I pay. If you don't show up, I get paid. If I show up, I get paid. If I show up and you don't show up, I still get paid. I even put there that if you are late, I get paid. I mean, this was not I know your brother, sister. No. This was a very formal business dealing. It was a goal. Such a goal that I had. I wanted to know how many of those things I really wanted to do. And that almost derailed me because I don't know if it's derailed now. I was leaving college and I thought to myself, man, this is a very good business. If you can have a solid plan, you will be successful. Start today. Start now. Remember, eliminate the word later. If you said later, ask yourself, why not now? And what's the thing we're going to say every day now? Just do it. If you have something in your mind, just wake up and say, just do it. You will find out how much procrastination gets out of your life. How many people have the small challenge with procrastination? Yeah. We'll keep talking about this. You don't want to miss the next few series about this because I only talked about 2 out of 7 of them. And I pray you'll be blessed. If you don't mind, just bowing your heads for a moment.